Let's go.
Rebel say so. Mesimim Zayin tells us that if a person is mevashel sholel b'cholav, yechayiv. If you cook a sholel is a fetus. If you cook a fetus with cholav, yechayiv. If you ochel that, yechayiv. But if you mevashel ashalya or if you cook the shelya is a placenta, or the skin, or the sinews, or the bones, or the hooves, or the horns. So pater v'chein ha'ochlam pater. So basically, the din is if I cook a shelya, I'm chayiv. But if I cook a shelya, etc., then I'm going to be pater. Source of this is a Gemara Kuf Yud Gimel the base. The Gemara tells me that I'm not allowed to cook a gedi. That pasuk appears three times in the Torah. The Gemara says over there, I have six limudim. This is a problem. Three is a different number than six, for the Gemara. So the Gemara says effectively that there are certain things that we don't need a pasuk of gedi for, because when it comes to, let's say, the shelya, it's a pirsha ba'alma. The shelya is pirsha ba'alma. The placenta is a davar pashut, that it's not included in gedi because it is just pirsha. Now, what this word pirsha means is not clear. Pirsha could mean the pasuk in Navi says, "V'samti peresh p'neichem peresh chageichem," which sounds like it's like waste material. That's what pirsha could mean. Alternatively, pirsha could mean davar hanefresh, something that is separated. Meaning that it's a davar pashut that the placenta is separate from the gedi, right? The placenta basically is like a sack that covers the fetus. So the fetus of the Gemara, that's considered a gedi, but the placenta is not a gedi, pirsha ba'alma. But it's not a 1,000,000% clear in the Badei HaShulchan pages 26 and 27. He raises the question, what does the word pirsha ba'alma mean? Does it mean that it's perish, that it's like refuse, or does it mean that it is a davar hanefresh? The issue of pirsha ba'alma appears elsewhere in Shas, in Siman Pei Aleph. We encounter a din that comes from the Gemara in Bechoros about Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor. The way Rav Schachter says is that you go to a wedding and they serve you this stuff, and mamash looks like ginger ale. You're bad luck. It's Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor. So what's the din in that case? What's the status of Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor? So the Rambam tells us in Perek Dalet of Ma'acholos Asuros Halacha Chaf, the Rambam teaches me that Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor is mutter. And the Rambam sounds like he is extending the category of Pirsha Ba'alma, that Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor is also Pirsha. It comes up in Kuf Tet. Remember, let me just give you a little bit more background. The Gemara learns there in Bechayrus that Yotze Min HaTameh is Tameh. Anything that emanates, that comes out of a Tameh animal, is Tameh. But if it's mamish junk, then it's mutter. But you can't say in that case that pirsha is going to be matir because it's like a separate thing, because it's still yotze minhatameh. When the Rambam tells me, and in Yoredei Siman Pei Aleph, there are two opinions whether we paskin like this. Do I paskin that Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor is mutter or aser? So those two opinions are probably disagreeing within the notion of pirsha ba'alma, within this notion that it's refuse. How much garbage does it have to be refuse? Apparently, I've never tried this. Apparently, Meirig Lime Shochamar has a pleasant taste. So what can we do about that one? So the Rambam nonetheless says it's considered pure Shiva Alma. I guess the taste is not completely pleasant. Whatever it is, that's the din in Simin Pei Aleph. There's another din of pure Shiva Alma, which may or may not exist. And that's our Mishnah in Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph, going over to Kuftes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara speaks about if I have a Sheira Sheyanka Min HaTrefa. Let's say you have a kosher animal and it nurses from a treif animal. Remember, we said a minute ago that the Yotze Min HaTomei is Tomei. So the milk that comes out of a treif animal is going to be treif. What about if I have a sheira sheyanka min ha-treifa? So there are two lines at the end of the Gemara on Kuftes Zayin on the base, which are found in parentheses. Two lines are found in parentheses. So let's give a teeny bit of background. Mishnah says a kashera sheyanka min hatreifa is going to be mutter. The Gemara says that treifa sheyanka min hatreifa is going to be a problem. Actually, no, I said it backwards. The Mishnah says it's going to be usher. The Gemara says treifa sheyanka min hatreifa is going to be okay. And the Gemara explains because it's pirsha ba'alma. Because it's pirsha. Now, the Rishonim disagree about how I square these things. Meaning, the Mishnah says it is a problem. Treifa, that Sheira Sheyonkam and that Treifa, according to the Mishnah, is bad. We have these lines in the Gemara that say it's okay because it's pure Shiva Alma. Rashi writes there's no such Gemara that says it is pure Shiva Alma. Rashi writes that Sheira Sheyonka Min HaTreifa, the halacha is it's usser, just like it says in the Mishnah. The fact that the Gemara says it's Pirsha Ba'alma is not true. The Rambam and the Rif assume that Sheira Sheyonka Min HaTreifa is going to be fine. Mutter. The milk inside the animal that's treif, the animal that's ksheira, that treif milk, is kosher because it's kirsha ba'alma, zok the Rambam, and the Rambam says all the milk inside this kosher animal is kosher. The Mishnah says it's bad, the Rambam holds, and there's a line like this in the Gemara, that there's a kodem chazar and a la'achar chazar, that maybe we changed our mind. And according to the Rambam, halacha l'maisa, sheira sheyankam and hatreifa is okay, because it's pirsha ba'alma. The Rabbeinu Tam, there on Kuftes Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbeinu Tam writes that there's a difference between cholov karush and cholov tzolol. Rabbeinu Tam writes, there's a stira in the Mishnah, between the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah says it's a problem. The Gemara says it's okay because it's pure Shiva Alma. The Rabbeinu Tam says that the Cholav, which is Solul, is a problem. The Cholav, which is Karosh, is Mutter. And these three opinions that we mentioned make it here in Shulchan Aruch to Se'if Tes, where it says cholov that's in the keva, the milk that's in the stomach of an animal. So the Mechaber's first opinion is the Rif and the Rambam, that it doesn't have the din of cholov, even if it's tzolol, because it's considered pirsha ba'alma, it's considered like refuse. Yesh misha oiser, there are some who aser, says the Mechaber, and the Rama writes, the cheno hagen. The Achronim understand, Taz Sifkat and Zayin and the Shaf Sifkat and Chafei, they understand that the Yesh Misha Oser is the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, meaning that there's a split between Karosh and Sol, that the solid milk in the Keva is going to be Mutter, the liquid milk is going to be Oser. This probably means that there's a machlekes about how much digestion has to happen for it to become refuse. The Rambam holds that any milk in the keva is by definition mutter, right? Sheva sheyankam in a trefa, like the Rambam, is okay, because as long as the taste is a little bit like garbage, right, that's going to be mutter for the Rambam. And the Rambam presumably is l'shitaso in that he holds mei raglayim shel chamor, which the Gemara says doesn't have such an awful taste. According to the Rambam, that's also a pirsha ba'alma. So the Rambam holds, and that's the first opinion of the Mechaber here in Pezayin Sif Tes, and that's the first opinion in Yerida Yasin and Pei Aleph. The Rambam holds that Pirsha is a broader category. The Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Pirsha Ba'alma only applies to something that underwent a decent amount of digestion. Therefore, the Chol of Tzolol is Asar, and the Chol of Karush is Mutar. For Rashi, I have no evidence in the Gemara Kuf Tezayin what Pirsha Ba'alma means, because for Rashi, there ain't no such Gemara, right? That's what they point out. The Gemara is in parentheses where it says Pirsha Ba'alma. That's because where it says Rashi Lamed Gimel, Lamed Gimel doesn't mean on Daf Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel means Rashi Lo Garas, that Rashi doesn't have this line in the Gemara. Ad Kan. So let's bring this back home. We just learned Se'if Tes about the Cholav in the Keva, and part of the Shaila is it Pirsha Ba'alma or not? The Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam seem to have a machlekes about the degree of Pirsha Ba'alma, which is probably the Lishitoso machlokes in Simen Pei Aleph about Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor, about how disgusting it has to be called refuse. That's the machlekes between the two opinions here in Pezayin Sif Tes, which is probably the same as the two opinions in Pei Aleph, and the Rambam is Lishitaso, and Rashi is kind of off the tracks because Rashi has a different take. So now let's bring this back home to Se'if Zayin. If I'm a Vashel Sholiel B'cholov, right? So that is considered Lo Tvashel Gedi B'chalevimo, that the fetus is called the Gedi. But the Shelia, Zach the Gemara and Kuf Yud Gimel, is Pirsha Ba'alma. Well, what does Pirsha Ba'alma mean? Does Pirsha Ba'alma mean the same thing as it means by Mei Raglayim Shel Chamor and by the Chol of Shebekeva? Does it mean that it's refuse? Or does Pirsha Ba'alma mean it's completely separate? It's a placenta. It's not a real animal. Right, so this is the suffix in the Badei HaShulchan, pages 26 and 27. Mr. Weiss, how are you, sir?
Where would the second reading of the Badei HaShulchan come from? Like, where did it come
from? So the second reading, where does it come from? So I think it comes just from the Pashtus in that Gemara, because the Gemara is handling whether it's considered Gedi or it's not Gedi.
I mean, doesn't Parash Ba'alma come up in terms of, like, just...
Right, so that's I mentioned that Peresh Raglechem Peresh Tagechem sounds like it's waste product.
Right.
On the other hand, one could translate the word Pirsha in the sense of Davar HaNifrash, and it could be that sometimes the same words in Shas appear and they have a different meaning. And if anything, from the context of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, when we're discussing, right, what's called the Gedi, so the fetus is the Gedi. The or, etc., is not the Gedi, and the Shelya is not the Gedi. So one can make a strong case that when the Gemara says Pirsha Ba'alma about the Shelya, what the Gemara really means is that it is separate from the animal. It's akin to the or. Right? And that seems to be the way it makes it here in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch puts the Shalya together with the or and the gidim and the atzamais, right? Which are all things that it means it's not a chelak in the animal. I don't think one can make an argument that the or I don't say the or, maybe, can anyone make an argument that the bones of the animal taste bad? It probably doesn't taste like anything, right? Probably pirsha in the sense of waste product isn't really a relevant term in that Gemara and Kuf Yud Gimel, which is making it here to Siv Zayin. Although I should note that the Gemara only says Shoyas Pirsha Ba'alma. It doesn't say that about the Ur and the Atzamais. But Shulchan Aruch seems to compare them. And the Vilna Gaon in Oschaf says if Shoya's mutter, Kosha came Oira's mutter. Right? So you get the impression that there's a certain logical connection between them. So that is the first issue. What does the word Pirsha Ba'alma mean? Now, a nafgamina for this might be, is the pshat in all these things that is just not gedi, or is the pshat to some extent that these things are not basar? Let me explain. Not gedi would mean pirsha ba'alma in the sense of it's not a chelek of the animal. Not basar, again, we could dinksa, we could disagree about this point, but not basar might mean that it doesn't really have the full flavor, or it tastes yuckety, right? We could say it that way. Again, this is not absolute, but if I use the term not gedi, l'cha'ira, that's setting the Gemara up in the pushet way. What is gedi? What's not gedi? The or is not gedi. The karnayim, the tzvafayim are not gedi, etc., etc. That seems to be one nekuda. What happens? Can these things become gedi? Or can they become basar? So the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin, all of this is in Chulin. Stam hafna otor to Meseches Chulin. Mishnah on Ayin Zayin tells me that there's another din of what is metame tumas eichon. So the shalya is ordinarily not metame tumas ochlim, but chishev aleha la'achiwa is metame tumas ochlim. That means l'cha'ora that the shalya can become an ochel al yedei machshava. That would probably mean that it is really not food. It's not the pshat, it's like a disgusting thing, right? Right? If it's like mufka because it's disgusting, so I'd say it's like butla eitzel ko adam. But if it's just not a chelek of the animal in general, so I could say, yeah, it's not a chelek, but I have a certain liberty to make it a chelek of the animal. Again, a lot of this is conjecture, but this is the world according to me. Okay, so we have shalya is considered basar b'cholev. Shalya is aser midrabanan, or gidim and atzamais is aser midrabanan. By gidim, atzamos, karnayim, tzvafayim, there's a word rakim that appears in Shulchan Aruch. How far back does that word rakim go in the sentence? Right? In other words, just read the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shalya, okay, problem. Shalya, or gidim, atzamais, ikari karnayim, tzvafayim, harakim, is potter, v'cheina ocham is potter. That indicates that rakim is potter. Apparently, kashim is heter gomer. So I understand that's going on the hooves, the karnayim and tzlafayim harakim, the tzlafayim at least, the hooves. Maybe it's going on the horns also. Horns are softer. Okay, there's a difference between horns and antlers. No? Horns are like strong things that animals use to gore each other. Antlers are stuff that shed like every year. They're largely decorative. They don't fulfill a goring thing. Antlers are softer than horns. I think that's the reality. The word rakim might be going on the horns and the antlers of the pashtus. The prima godim is mesupik. The prima godim is mesupik about whether it's going also on the or. In other words, if it's going on the or and it's going on the atzamais, how far back does that word rakim go? If rakim is going on or and atzamais, so that might mean that soft or is a problem, hard or is okay. More relevant for us that we'll discuss tomorrow is that there's a difference between soft atzamais and hard atzamais, right? I can take a bone and I can soften the bone. I can, let's say, cook the bone until it becomes malleable. If I understand that the Shulchan Aruch is saying that there's an Issur Rabbanan only on Atzamais Harakim, and the Prima Godim is Mesupak about this point in Oschaf Beis, how far back does the word rakim go? If it goes even on atzamos, that would indicate that atzamos kashim are heter gamor, and that would be, gentlemen, a svara to be mekel on gelatin. Right? Gelatin is made, and we'll talk about this at length tomorrow, Yetzer Hashem. Gelatin is made that you take atzamos, and like the prophet Ezekiel told us, that atzamos can become atzamos yuveshais. They're mamish, like dried up, and they make the atzamos into some sort of powder. And then what they do is they cook it and they create some sort of gel. And when I have this whole thing, that creates gelatin, which adds like texture to foods. If you hold that atzamos kashos are heter gamor, you have a bigger svara lahakol by the gelatin. If you hold that the word rakim is only going on the hooves and it's not going on the atzamais, so that means that atzamais kashim are also a problem. By the or, we have a similar question in the Prima Godim. The Rambam tells us that there are certain areas of the skin, the or underneath the animal's tail, is apparently very soft, right? So there are certain things that Urim Kibisarim, that the R is very soft, and Klapi the Dinim of Nevela, etc. It is, right, the Prima Gun writes, Yesh Lahis Tapik, but also in Shari saying Kibisaran, that the Rambam quotes in Parak Dawad Ha Chafav Machos Asuros, that the or tachas ha'alya, which is considered min ha'tera kebasar, whether it's considered min ha'tera kebasar or min basar b'chol or not. Right? That's the suffix in the Prima Godin. Again, part of the question might relate to whether or is categorically exempt or whether we're saying that or harach is exempt. If I'm saying or harach is exempt, so then there is not much of a difference between R that's rach a little bit and R that's rach a lot. Again, conjecture, not 100% mukhrah. I'm just pointing out that the question about what the word rakim is going on is relevant for the gelatin. And the prima gunim has this other suffix about the R. Mr. Kamenetsky, sir.
Isn't it pashut that if hard bones are not basar halav, that means they're also not halos and seres from like a nevela or from a pig?
Not 1,000,000%. In other words, I could say just that by basar b'chol the din is gedi velo whatever. Although if I say that sevara, it's more reasonable to assume that it's not considered a chelak of the animal at all, and therefore there should be no din even by a chazer that the atzamais are a problem.
Now, by basin, we said that even though it might be Jerem and Achai, it's not, it doesn't have
tapas. Right. We'll talk about that in a minute. So it could be the Beitza is Aser Alts Avram and Achai, but doesn't have a Tam Basar, and therefore Alts Basar B'cholov, it's different. And we'll present that Svara in 2 minutes. Let me just, though, add a Nakuda, which is that with respect to Dinam of Bittol Ha'Isser in Simon Sadi Tess, the din is that things are Batal B'Shishim. So if I have treif meat in the pot, it's batal b'shishim. Now, how do I recognize, how do I calculate what's called shishim? So let's say I have a piece of flanken, piece of treif meat, no? If you ever had flanken, like your chalent meat, there's a lot of bone there, no? So is the bone considered, so let's say a piece of chalent meat falls in the ketera with other stuff. Is the bone considered heter to be mevato the iser? Is the bone not heter to be mevato the iser? That l'cha'era is the same question that we're going to deal with by the gelatin. Right? And maybe there's a distinction between the atzamos ha-kashos and the atzamos ha-rakos. Maybe that's also a relevant conversation. Again, I know this is super detailed in terms of like reading Se'if Zayin, but it's going to mamish be relevant as we'll talk about tomorrow. So far we spoke about two issues. We spoke about what pirsha means, and then we spoke about what the word rakim is going on. I should add.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So was this the reason why some people were trying to not for pig gelatin, because it comes from hard bones?
Pig gelatin comes from hard bones, yeah. So I mean, if you hold that gelatin is mutter, like Reb Chaim Leizer says, so you can have gelatin from any treif animal, that's right. Most kosher organizations, this is the difference between like Rabbanot and Rabbanot Mahadran in many areas of Eretz Yisrael, where they use gelatin, which basically is relevant. Can you buy ice cream or gummy fish? No, it's not relevant like in terms of whether you can eat a chicken. There's no gelatin in the chicken. Right. One of the differences between Rabbanot and Rabbanot Mahadran involve whether there's additional precautions in Hafreshes, Trumas, and Maisers. It involves this year Heter Mechira. Okay, fine. It involves some elements of Betikas Tolaim and gelatin. Those are like the big differences. Again, this is something I'm not fully up to date on, but it's something that Rip David Miller told me when he was in yeshiva a few years ago as the mashgiach. So I tried to get the lowdown on differences between Rabbanut and Rabbanut Mahadran. So that's what he told me at that point. Oh. Now, the dinim of Or, etc., and the Atzamais. So the Sefer Yad Yehuda writes that it says in the Shulchan Aruch that Or Gidim Atzamais is Pater. Pater, the Shaf tells me, means that Isura Miha Ika. That's Aser Midrabanan. Nonetheless, you get the impression that there's also an Isser of Bishol on it, because the Shulchan Aruch writes, Hamavash or Shal Ya'oy Or, etc., is Pater. The Ramah told me earlier in Se'if Dalet that any basar b'chola midrabanan is not asr b'bishalan by hana. So the kasha is, how come the shalya seems to be asr in bishal? That's the kasha. Mr. Pelletroyce.
Isn't the language of the Ramabach there that it says hana, or we get eight or add in bishal?
So the Lashon over there, we spoke about this in the context of Mecholov. So the Reb Kiva Eger sounds like it's going to be Osir Midrabanan both by Bishal and by Hanah. The Yad Yehuda writes over here that the Or, Gidim At Samais, etc., are Osir Midrabanan by Bishal and by Achila, but not by Hanah. I don't know the difference between these two. But just to kind of fill in the missing part, like I skipped a step in the presentation, the Reb Kiva Eger quoted that the reason why Mei Cholov is Osir Midrabanan by Bishon by Hanoah, even though the Ramah tells me that whatever is Osir Midrabanan, like Basar Oif, I'm allowed to cook Basar Oif with Cholov, right? How come the Mei Cholov can cook with Cholov? So Reb Kiva Eger quotes from the Sefer Tiferes Lamoshe, because the Mei Cholov is Ba, from Cholav Min HaTorah. Right? We spoke about extension versus creation. Similarly, the Or, the Atzamos, the Karnayim, all these things are an extension of the animal. It's certainly not a creation, right? It's not like a Basar Oaf, I could say, is a Nayazach. I could say that Basar Oaf, the Torah says only Basar is Asar, Midrabanan, where Gozer Basar Oaf, Atu Basar. Right? It's a new thing. It's a new Isser. It's a Gezerah Drabanan, as opposed to the Mei Cholav and the Ikari Karnayim and Tlafayim, whatever it is, that in those cases, it's an extension, etc. Ava Mash'ani Lomevin is how come by the Mei Cholav, Reb Kiva Eger is Miduyak, that it's going to be Osir both by Bishol and by Hanoam Midrabanan. Yet over here, the Yad Yehuda says, it's only Osir and Bishol, not in Hanah. And I would say, okay, there's a machlokas of Kiva Eger and the Yad Yehuda. For some reason, Reb Fava Cohen quotes both of them in the Badei Ashoch, and he doesn't bat an eyelash. At L'cha'ora, right, if you hold that an extension is Osir, both by Bishol and by Hanah, like Reb Kiva Eger said, so here also by the horns, should be Osir both by Bishol and by Hanah. It's hard to... in my mind, it's hard to draw a distinction. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify, obviously, the language of the Ramah is almost like a lot of shame. It doesn't talk about Bishal at all.
Right, and the Achronim all say that it applies to Bishal as well.
So then you can say this is a kasha, as a friend referred to me.
Okay, I'm just saying that these things, which I have a shtickle answer, extension versus creation. Right? But then they got a problem because they have two things which are called extension. I have Mecholav and the Karnayim, etc. And the din seems to be different in those two cases. That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me in the Sugya. Okay, now. The dinim of Mevashel or, etc. So the Achronim say over here, that the cholov is going to be heter gomor, but the bone, let's say, the etzem, or the shelia, is going to be osir midrabanan. Okay? And this gets to the point that you were referencing earlier. The cholov is going to be heter gomor because the etzem doesn't have tam to asr the cholov. But the cholav is absorbed in the etzem. And if the cholav is absorbed in the etzem, so then at least midrabanan, the etzem is going to be asur. Right? So it's like one of these weird unidirectional basur b'cholav situations. Right? The cholav is mutter because the bone doesn't have tam, right? Gidin. Gidin appears here in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a discussion about whether yesh begidim benoisim tam or ain begidim benoisim tam. this din seems to assume that ain begidin benosein tam, like we pass in the sugya of gid hanosh and simon samachay. Right, so the gidin can't give flavor out. But on maisa, if I want to chew on a gid, right, so on the level of drabana, I'm violating basar b'chol, because the gid has cholav in it. And on the level of drabonim, we're saying the gid is considered some sort of basar, some sort of gidi, whatever it is, and therefore is going to be usher on the level of drabonim. Now, this of course brings us to a question that Reb Fivel Cohen addresses in the Beurim, page 27, that Reb Kiva Eger has a tshuva that we'll have to talk about later in this man, where he says that there's no such thing as unidirectional basar b'cholav. Basar b'cholav has to be basar b'cholav, right? It's got to be bidirectional. If it, you can't have the cholav being mutter and the basar being asar, right? So Reb Fivel is bothered by this kasha, and that's already one kasha. Another kasha to just talk about over here very briefly is that it says that the atzamos are, that the atzamos over here are going to be osur midrabanan. The atzamos absorb cholav, so the atzamos are osur midrabanan. They might not make the cholav treif midrabanan, but they absorb. This l'cha'orah is a discussion in Hilchos Pesach. By most of the dinim of Hechsher Kelim are found in Hilchos Pesach, no? In Archaim Simin Tafnun Aleph. So I have to kasher for Pesach metal kelim, they absorb. I have to kasher wood kelim, they absorb. Certain kelim, the assumption is they don't absorb at all. What about kli etzem? Let's say I make kelim out of bones. Isn't ivory like that? Right? Ivory is like one of the most expensive things in the ancient world. Right? So I think ivory is atzamos. Does ivory absorb flavor? If you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes a bunch of Rishonim of Ashkenaz, Mordechai's and his friends, that there is no need for Hechsher Kelim by atzamos. However, the Beis Yosef frekta kasha, then the Parshas, in Parshas, where is it, Matos, by the Hagalas Klei Midyan, right? So the Torah has a lashon, v'chol, kli, whatever, osam tiskat ta'u, and Rashi writes that one of the terms in the pasuk refers to kli etzem. That would mean that there is absorption on kli etzem. Right, that's mamish, this din over here. This din sounds like, if we're right, that this din is creating a sort of unidirectional basar b'chalav. So what that means is the kli, the etzem, which l'chayra is the same as the etzem absorbed something, and therefore I should have to kasher it. Right? If you hold like those Rishonim, the main shita in Rishonei Ashkenaz, that etzem does not absorb, so then you'd have to say over here that the etzem is taka kosher also. You can't have it both ways. You can't have that the etzem absorbs the cholav and that there's no din of hechsher kelim on the etzem. Right? That's just not reasonable. So, yes, Mr. Hyman, shlita.
Unless you follow me.
So if I follow Reb Kiva Eger, so it would go in the opposite direction. There's a point to Reb Kiva Eger, I could say that by basar b'cholav, it has to be bidirectional. So then the etzem should be kosher by basar b'cholav. But over there, it would be, it's kosher by basar b'cholav, over there it's going to be treif. Yet the Mishainim in Tafnun Aleph say it's kosher by Shari Surim, right? And the poskim over here say it's treif by, again, you have to play the name game. These are the types of things I'm not so careful in my learning to kind of chart which we've shown them say what on which details. But I think the only way out of this type of question would be to mamish play the name game and to see what does the Mordechai say over here, what does he say over there, what does the Ogre say, etc. Those types of things. Yeah.
Okay.
Are we saying here that the etzem is bolea, but it's not maflit?
Correct.
So maybe that's why you wouldn't have shrikeo, because there would never be any issur that comes into your food.
But again, if... So the din is, and we'll have to talk about this when we learn Hechsher Kalim. Hechsher Kalim is not just because I don't want my food to become treif. If that would be the case on any Kalei She'eno Ben Yomo, I don't have to kasher. Right? There's a special din that I learned from Parshas Midyan of Hechsher Kalim that Rabbi Genek has in his Sefer, that there's an Isser Lehishtamesh with a Kli that's non-kasher. And that's probably the sort of Hechsher Kalim. You're right. You're right. In other words, if the word is that it can't come out, right? It's like the roach motel, no? What goes in, don't come out, right? So if that's the yisod, so then there would be no need for hefshir kalim. However, I have another din that hefshir kalim is not only about trafing up my food. Hefshir kalim is that there's a special iser to use non-kashir kalim. So what we did today, gentlemen, is we got from Sif Zayin through Sif Tes, because we had done Sif Tes already. So we're actually making some sort of progress. Have a good day, Hefrak.